This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. The sun is out. It was raining for, seemingly 7 hours, it felt like. Probably even longer than that. It rained like all night, and then when I woke up today, it was still raining just as hard as it was when I went to sleep. So congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. We were talking about weird food combinations that we have eaten, or whether it was currently or as children.
I could use a Dorito sandwich right now. It sounds great.
Yeah, that's
gross.
Because Patrick Mahomes, he went on the Part in My Take podcast and said that he used to eat ketchup sandwiches as kids. And then we learned that Sean dated a girl who would dip her Cheetos into milk. Mm-hmm. And that was the love of his life. She's the one that got away. Someone on the text line was saying,
Buffalo.
Yeah, that's his great white buffalo. Cheeto milk girls, his great white buffalo. Just absolutely disgusting. Someone on the text line said, my kids swear by hot Cheetos and sour cream.
That one makes a little more sense.
Just, okay. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense why you would do something like that.
She also put peanut butter on her burgers.
Okay,
That one not weird.
She's weird. I mean, you might not want to call that BK because you're nicer than me. I'll say she's weird, and I would want to get far away from her, too.
She's weird. The peanut butter on the burger, that's been done before. There was an entire establishment that was the premise of it was peanut butter burgers.
So was less past weird. Tense, like it shut down because nobody went there, perhaps?
As far as I know, it has since shut down.
Oh, shocker. I can't believe that the peanut butter burger place no longer exists.
I've actually grown very fond in my older age to a nice little sunny side up egg on my burger. I've actually grown very fond of the breakfast burger. That's been a thing of mine.
Fantastic.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Plus, we have one more pair of tickets for Royals and Yankees. And as we continue to bribe you to listen, as we try to take over the radio dominance here in Kansas City, we have a pair of tickets to Aladdin. We're going to do it like this. After the hits are done, I'm going to play the clip of a Disney movie. If you know the Disney movie, be calling number 6-913-576-7610. If you know it, you go see Aladdin for free. If you don't know it, well, we just keep talking about sports and we give you the same entertainment that you normally get for free. That's how the next 10 minutes is going to work. Hit it, BK.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city, now up in the crossroads, and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Well, the Royals and Cardinals were supposed to begin their quick two-game series tonight. That game has officially been postponed. Instead, they will play a doubleheader tomorrow in St. Louis. First game at 12:15. We'll have full coverage starting at 11 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio. This was once considered a rivalry in Kansas City, CDOT. Certainly doesn't feel that way anymore. Who are the pro sports rivalries going on in Kansas City today?
I would say the pro sports rivalries are all on the football side. I don't think the Royals have a rival, and maybe in my lifetime that they've never had a rival. You say it was once considered a rivalry. I was born in 1988. The Royals and the Cardinals have never been rivals. They've probably played 7 meaningful games the entire time I've been alive. The Royals haven't had that rival either. Maybe you want to say the Twins for a time, but when the Twins were really, really good, the Royals weren't that good. I don't think the Royals have had a rival my entire life.
And during that run, 14 and 15, it wasn't a long enough run for them to create a rival. Like back in our dad's day, the A's were a natural rival. The Yankees were because they were playing a lot. When it comes to professional rivals now, it's the Chiefs and the Chargers. It's no longer the Chiefs and the Broncos, no longer the Chiefs and the Raiders, because the Raiders are no good, because the Broncos suck. Both teams have to be good for there to be a rivalry. But I think the Chiefs actually, BK, have 3 rivals right now. I think it's the Chargers. I think it's the Patriots. And once the playoffs come around, it seems like they're always playing the Colts. To me, those are the biggest rivals right now in Kansas City.
Two.
Hit number 2, Sammy Watkins is speaking out as we enter OTAs. He was on SiriusXM yesterday. He's talking to them about his offseason and why he thinks 2019 is the year.
I just want to make sure that you play the right clip this time, because earlier you didn't play the right clip.
Nobody in our audience right now would have known.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I knew, BK. I knew you knew.
That's all that matters.
We know in here.
We can keep that between the three of us.
I just want to make sure, because earlier it was supposedly Sammy Watkins, but it sounded a lot like Eric Fisher.
Who's Sammy Watkins?
No, I don't know.
It was just Sammy saying the same thing for a minute and a half instead of 45 seconds.
I just want to make sure that it's actually Sammy Watkins. The people here.
Here's Sammy Watkins.
Settled here. I know the offense. I know the coaches. I know everyone in the organization supporting me. So I got to give my all. And this offseason has just been good to correct my body on the things I need to correct. And the Chief staff's been great with this, helping me tremendously with my body. Think this year, just I feel like I'm in college again, or high school. My body just holding up right.
Since you guys slander Sammy Watkins all the time, I'll go ahead and defend the man. Last year, he played 8 full games in the regular season, 2 in the playoffs. In those 10 games, he had 49 catches, 690 yards, and 3 touchdowns. If you put that over a 16-game season, it would have been 80 for 1,100 yards and 5 touchdowns. C-Dot, are you buying what Sammy Watkins is selling?
I am not C-Dot. I'm Sean. And
Sean
no,
Levine,
I am not.
Are you buying what he's selling?
No, I'm not buying what he's selling. Sammy Watkins is consistent. He's consistently hurt. He's consistently average. Look at a couple of years ago when he wasn't hurt and when he was on a very potent offense in the Rams. He had 40 receptions. Sammy Watkins is what he is, which is basically a number 3 wide receiver that gets paid number 1 wide receiver money. C-Dot, he's going to have to play like a number 1 for a portion of time. At least why Tyreek Hill is out for this team to keep their head above water.
BK, cut the music.
Oh, God.
I can't read Sammy Watkins' thoughts to you guys. That's all I'm interested in, what Sammy Watkins thinks. Can I read it to you guys?
Please, yeah.
I will be the best this year. Mark my word. I want it more now than I ever did before in my life. I'm sacrificing everything
was
to get where
Tim
I
Tebow
once
speech?
Was. The world will now get to witness my greatness again. That's from Sammy Watkins.
God bless.
We as a consciousness are beyond this world and have to start seeking knowledge, intelligence, and being logical with our relationships, environment, friends, and conversation. All that plays a part on this journey. Earth is a school. Heaven is here, and it's free.
Well, that took a weird turn.
Hashtag Starship 14. Hashtag Limitless 14. That's all I got to say about Sammy Watkins. Next hit.
Can I let you guys hear this from Sammy Watkins first? Because we couldn't hear it earlier since I messed up.
No,
this was my favorite part of the quote. I'll let you hear this.
You know, the universe kind of give everybody what they wish for and the energy that they push out. And that's what I've been doing, just trying to manifest a great year. And even if I don't have a great year, I feel like it's a great year because I'm out there doing something I love and blessed to be on the field.
I actually agree with that. I agree with that. I'm a big believer that the energy you put into the world manifests itself. I believe that. I'm on the same thing. Hashtag Starship 14.
All right. You and Sammy Watkins agree. This just in. Final hit of the day brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Gerald McCoy, the defensive tackle from the Bucs, was released yesterday. It sounds today like he could be headed for an AFC contender. According to reports, the Chargers, Patriots, Browns have all emerged as contenders to sign the former Bucs D-tackle. All of those teams have one thing in common. They're contenders that are competing with the Chiefs in the AFC. C-Dot, do you think this is a sign that other teams are starting to gear up to defend Patrick Mahomes this season?
100%. And we'll talk about this more after the hits. But it's obvious what Cleveland's doing. It's obvious what the Patriots are doing. It's obvious what the Chargers are doing. If you are an NFL franchise, you know that you got to deal with Patrick Mahomes, so you need to be gearing up for the fight that's going to happen in late December and January.
I think there's 7 teams that think they can win a championship in the AFC: New England, the Chargers, Cleveland, Houston, Indy, and Pittsburgh. I think there's 3 teams that the difference between the Chiefs and them is paper thin: New England, the Chargers, and Cleveland. Those are the 3 teams that are most likely to get Gerald McCoy. That's a scary thought. He's a hell of a football player. He's still in his prime. The Chargers' defensive line adding McCoy, that might make them a more talented and maybe the favorite to win the division. So that's a scary thought that he would go to one of those 3 teams.
All right, coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Plus, we have one more pair of tickets for Royals and Yankees, so keep it locked in. This is how this game's going to work.
Okay.
You love games. I love games.
I love games.
Who doesn't love games? I'm going to play the clip of a Disney movie. If you know the movie, be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. If you are caller number 6 and you know the movie, you have 2 free tickets to go see Disney Aladdin. Take your lady, take your husband, Take your boyfriend, take your girlfriend, take your kid. You've got two free tickets coming to you to any theater in Kansas City to go see Aladdin. Here's the movie.
I've never felt this way about anyone. I want to do something for her. But what?
Well, there's the usual things, flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep.
No. It has to be something very special. Something that sparks her interest. Wait a minute.
So if you know what movie that is, be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. Caller number 6 wins a pair of tickets to see Disney Aladdin. We will do that every day this week in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll probably actually do it two times on Thursday since we probably will not have a show tomorrow based on the doubleheader. I want to play this for you really quickly. This is Sam Weish of NFL Network. I firmly believe that the Patriots and Cleveland Browns are building their teams with the mindset of we will have to go through the Kansas City Chiefs at some point, so we need to be prepared defensively. So this is from NFL Network. This is Sam Weish. Listen to the teams who are most interested in acquiring Gerald McCoy, who just got cut from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Even when the Buccaneers were trying to trade McCoy, that the Browns had interest, but at that number, they've already got so much money invested in that defensive line, that was too steep. But now that they might be able to get him at a reduced price, think about that. Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, and now possibly Gerald McCoy. That would be a ridiculous front up in Cleveland. They've already got a stacked team, but they're going to have some competition. We know the Patriots are one of the teams we've heard that could possibly be in on McCoy. And maybe at this point of his career, with all this losing, he wants to go to a team that could get him to the Super Bowl. Another team to look out for is the Los Angeles Chargers. Even though they drafted Jerry Tillery to play along Brandon Mebane at the defensive interior, they really shuffle around their defensive tackles in a lot of their pass rush situations. Gerald McCoy would be stalwart. And again, Bosa, Tillery, McCoy, Melvin Ingram. Oh, Patrick Mahomes, he could still be the MVP. But with those facing that front four, oh my goodness, there's a lot of stuff that could happen. And Gerald McCoy, again, he's going to be a hot target. We'll see how quickly this gets done, but there will be competition for his service.
Now, I don't know much about the NFL, but I was fairly good at Madden. And I watch a lot of it throughout the course of the season. And I don't know how you could watch the AFC and not come to the conclusion of, man, that Chiefs quarterback, he's going to be good for a really long time. And if we want to go to Super Bowls, if we want to win Super Bowls, we need to be prepared to beat that guy. I don't know how you can watch the last 18 games of NFL football or 19 games of NFL football and watch Mahomes and study the film. And you know John Dorsey knows how good Mahomes is. Belichick certainly knows. He's played him two times in the playoffs. They know how good Mahomes is. The Chargers know how good he is. Think about what the Chargers did this offseason. Think about what the Browns have done this offseason. They already has Myles Garrett, who I think could equally be as good as Frank Clark. Certainly right there at the cusp, who I think can be an elite-level pass rusher. They go get Olivier Vernon to kind of solidify that, so now they've got two really good edge rushers. They were trying to go trade for McCoy, didn't want to trade for the $13 million, but now are going to be serious players and can go to him and say, hey, this is a new-look Browns. This is not the Browns that are going 7-9. We got a chance to win a Super Bowl based on the pieces. We need you in here. We'll give you a chance to win a ring. New England. They have been completely retooling that defensive line and adding secondary pieces because they know in order to go back to the Super Bowl, you are going to need to have solid pass rush and you're going to need to have good corners. The Chargers, we think when healthy, have the best pass rush in the NFL with Ingram and Bosa. They're thinking about adding guys like Gerald McCoy. I don't know how you can follow this league and not think, at least to some degree, that is in relation to what the Chiefs have offensively. That if you want to beat the Chiefs, you better be prepared to stop Patrick Mahomes. So you better make sure that your pass rush is right. You better make sure that your cornerback and secondary group is right.
Of those three teams, New England, the Chargers, and Cleveland, New England always makes the right move. So if they sign McCoy, that's a scary thought. Cleveland, as you point out, John Dorsey, he knows exactly what the Chiefs have better than anybody, and he realizes that he has to fight power and fight fire with fire. That's why he found Odell Beckham. That's why he signed Kareem Hunt, because his plan is that his team's going to be able to score with the Chiefs, not necessarily stop them, but he's going to be able to score with them. And then the Chargers, to me, man, is the scariest proposition, because the difference between the Chiefs and the Chargers last year was nothing. Both teams were 12-4. Both teams won on the other team's field. If they were to add a guy like McCoy, with Bosa, with Ingram on that defensive line, the talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball, I think the Chiefs are really good. I think the Chiefs should be the favorite to get to and win a championship. But I also say that knowing that their best and easiest path is with home field advantage. Man, home field might not go through Arrowhead if the Chargers add another piece like McCoy.
BK, let me ask you this. You can have the other teams in the NFL. I'll take the Browns, the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Colts, and I'll give you every other team in the NFL. Where do you feel most confident that Gerald McCoy is going to land? Because those four teams that we named, in varying degrees, are the biggest competitor to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Colts, they played in the playoffs. The Patriots, they played in the playoffs. The Chargers are in their division and won 12 games last season. The Browns are the most improved team in the AFC and have their former general manager and their former running back. Do we think he goes anywhere outside of those four teams?
No, I would expect it to be one of those four at this point. Like, it could be any of the four, but I would expect it at this point to be one of those four.
Any chance whatsoever that the Chiefs would flirt with bringing McCoy in themselves?
I don't know if they can, given how many resources they've spent on the defensive line.
I mean, like, the money is available. They could do it if they wanted to.
You're 100% right. I'm just thinking about how many resources they have tied up in defensive line. Let's go through this. It's actually an interesting conversation. Frank Clark. We agree. They've spent a lot of money on Frank Clark.
Yeah.
They spent a first-round draft pick on Clark, a second-round draft pick next year on Clark, and they gave him, what, top five defensive player money. They got a lot of money tied up into Frank Clark. We also think they are about to pay Chris Jones. So they have paid, or they have not done it yet, but we think they're going to pay Chris Jones pretty comparable to what they paid Frank Clark. So we think this offseason they are going to give $200 million in contracts out, and I don't understand some funny math and all that kind of stuff, to two defensive linemen. They then went out and signed Alex Okafor to a free agent deal. They also traded for Emmanuel Ogba. They also have drafted Breland Speaks, who has to get some time on the defensive line. You also went out and made some other moves on the defensive line. You got Colin Sinners in the third round. You got Derek Nnadi last year that we think is going to make the team. I just don't know where the room is for Gerald McCoy. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to make a hard decision and maybe you get rid of Xavier Williams to make room for Gerald McCoy. I'm just looking at resources. I don't know if they can afford to spend much more resources on their defensive line than they already have. They're spending an exorbitant amount of money on their defensive line and resources tied up in.
But the player's actually available. We spend so much time talking about, well, what if Xavier Rhodes is available? We spend all this time talking about, what if Patrick Peterson was available? This guy's actually available. That's the difference. The Chiefs don't necessarily need him, though. It's not a position of need. They've already improved on the defensive line. I would say they still need a cornerback. So if they're going to spend that type of money, I wouldn't spend it on McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, BK.
I just think it comes down to the money. Like, if he's got this many teams coming after him, he's probably going to get a similar deal to what Ndamukong Suh gets, which is probably going to be somewhere around 1 year, $10 to $12 million. Similar to the contract that he was on, which is kind of why I was surprised nobody was willing to give up a late-round pick to just trade for Gerald McCoy. But my guess is he gets 1 year, $10 to $12 million, and he tests the market again next year. I don't think the Chiefs should be in the market for that kind of a player at that position. If you can get that guy like Janoris Jenkins or Josh Norman on a cornerback 1 year prove it deal, that's where I would spend that money. I would not risk it right now with the possibility that one of those corners could become available later with a defensive tackle.
I agree with you. I think they certainly have the money available. That's not really a point at this point. I agree with BK. If I'm going to spend the money right now to continue to improve this team, I'm either investing in a wide receiver, like I may be going to get Nelson Aguilar because I'm worried about what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill, or I'm spending it on the secondary. I just don't know if they can afford to put any more resources on that defensive line.
But how much better does Nelson Aguilar make the team? And it's one thing to say the Chiefs need a cornerback. It's another thing for that cornerback to be available. The only name that might become available is Josh Norman. That's about the only guy that I've heard that would make sense. The Chiefs could afford it. It would be a great fit. But let's say that doesn't work out, because in all likelihood it won't. Then we're talking about them going to camp with this group of players. So it's one thing to say, this is what we need. It's another thing for a player like Gerald McCoy to actually be available.
Yeah, no, that's definitely it. I mean, and he's certainly going to make one of these teams. I would say is NFL teams have known that Gerald McCoy was going to be available this entire time. Like, BK and I had this conversation literally 9 weeks ago that McCoy, like, everybody in the NFL knew that the Bucs were going to cut him at some point. He was due $13 million. Like, this is the exact same situation that the Chiefs found themselves in with Justin Houston. Everybody knew. So if they really wanted Gerald McCoy, they should have been making the plans. And then I would say you don't go get Alex Okafor, you don't go trade for Emmanuel Ogba, and you just keep that space open that when Gerald McCoy gets available, you're just going to make an all-in push to go get Gerald
McCoy. Well, how are you supposed to know that he's going to become available?
Everybody knew. He was due $13 million. Everybody knew he was going to be available.
Yeah, he didn't show up to any of the workouts this offseason. The coach openly said that there was some kind of – he basically had the same comments Andy Reid made about Justin Houston and Dee Ford. Everybody knew he was going to become available. It was just a matter of when, not if.
Then maybe you should play that same game with Josh Norman, because it sounds like he's probably going to become available too. It's a risky game to play to wait till the last minute, but it could also make your team a whole lot better.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just would say there isn't nearly as much smoke around Josh Norman as there appears to be around Gerald McCoy. Like, I think if you really follow this, and I get that everyone doesn't, I think we all knew that at some point the Bucks were going to cut Gerald McCoy. Speaking of guys who got to step up this year, we'll see if BK can play the right audio this time. This is what Sammy Watkins had to say. He went on Sirius XM radio yesterday.
I'm settled here. I know the offense. I know the coaches. I know everyone in the organization supporting me, so I got to give my all. And this offseason has just been good to correct my body on the things I need to correct. And the chief staff's been great with this, helping me tremendously with my body. I think this year, just I feel like I'm in college again or high school. My body just holding up right. I just feel like it's the best time right now for the next, I don't know how long I'm going to play, but the next 6 to 8 years is giving my all. Put my heart, my soul, my energy, my spirit in the game. I just feel like the success will start coming once I change my attitude about it.
This is the very interesting thing about Sammy Watkins. A lot of times I don't feel like the conversation around Sammy Watkins necessarily matches the production and what we see on the field. That this is going to be a very telling and very eye-opening year for Sammy Watkins. Because a lot of times I think the receiver that people think exists has not existed since 2015. So since then, now his first 2 years in the NFL, Sammy Watkins was really good. 65 catches, 982, 6 touchdowns, 60 catches, 1,047 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Really good first 2 years in the league. The last 3 years have been a struggle for Sammy Watkins, whether it was health, whether it was to learning a new system, new scheme, whatever it was. So last year in Buffalo, 28 catches, 430 yards, 2 touchdowns. First year in Los Angeles, only year in Los Angeles, 39 catches, 593 yards, 8 touchdowns. Great touchdown years, but I think everyone would agree playing in 14 games and having less than 600 yards receiving is not a great season.
With the Rams.
Last year, 40 catches, 519 yards, missed the entire second half of the season, only had 3 touchdowns. I'm not as down on Sammy Watkins as you appear to be when it comes to his ability and skill level, because I still think he's a really productive receiver. But this year, Watkins is at the point, at the end of the year, we got to be able to tangibly look at a box score and look at what you accomplished for a year. Because at some point, you have to match what the team, I think, is expecting on you. Like this year, they are counting on him. Last year, I think we always view Watkins as a little bit of a luxury. You had Tyreek Hill, you had Travis Kelce, you had Kareem Hunt. He was somewhat of a luxury. This year, Sammy Watkins' production is going to be a necessity for the Chiefs in the first half of the season, in my mind, because I fully expect Tyreek Hill to be suspended. At the end of the year, I'm not saying that Sammy Watkins has to be Brandon Cooks. I'm not saying that he has to be Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown. At the end of the year, Sammy Watkins needs to have 800 yards receiving. He needs to have 5 touchdowns. He needs to be a guy that the Chiefs feel like week in, week out, they can count on his production. Because so far with the Chiefs, they haven't been able to do that. Last year with the Rams, they weren't able to do that. 3 years ago with Buffalo, they weren't able to do that. To me, it seems very simple for Sammy Watkins. If he plays really well this year, he will likely get a new contract either with the Chiefs, or they will release him because of his contract, and then he will get another big contract somewhere else because he is still relatively young in NFL years. If he doesn't have a good season, if he's injured again this year and has 7 games, 500 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, he's going to be Devin Funchess, where it's going to be literally 5 seasons since you last were a productive player. This is the year there can't be any excuses, can't be any arguing about quarterback or system or scheme or any of that. Sammy Watkins needs to produce this season.
You made a great point when you said they didn't need him. He was a luxury. That's exactly what he was. He was a luxury. He was a decoy, albeit a $15 million, very expensive decoy. They need him this year. And don't get it twisted when I talk smack on Sammy Watkins. I think he's a good football player. I just think he's an unhealthy football player. I look at his career. He hardly ever plays 16 games. He's done that once in his career. Even when he played 14 games a couple of years ago with the Rams, he still had less than 40 receptions. So I don't see the producing, I guess you should say, that I would expect from a guy that's making that type of money. That being said, this year, if he is healthy, which again, see that is a big if, 3 reasons why I think he's going to have a career year. Better than the 1,000 yards he caught as a rookie with Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the fact that Tyreek Hill is not going to be there. Those 3 things should factor in to Sammy Watkins, if he's healthy, to have a career year. And we seem to differ when it comes to what a career year would be or his upside. I think Sammy could be a guy that has 10 touchdowns and has 1,200 yards as long as he stays on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I just would say, I mean, that's I mean, what you're describing is Adam Thielen. I don't need him to be Adam Thielen. I don't need him to be T.Y. Hilton. Like, that's the receiver you're describing.
He's going to get the opportunities to be that guy with Tyreek Hill off the field.
Yeah, I personally don't need him to be that. If he can be Tyler Lockett, like last year, Tyler Lockett had 965 yards receiving yards, or Emmanuel Sanders. Last year, he had 868 receiving yards. I know there's a difference between the two, but I'd be perfectly fine with that. If you're telling me that Sammy Watkins can be Alshon Jeffrey, he had 65 catches, 843 yards, and 6 touchdowns, I'll happily sign up for that. Now, I agree with you. That's not worth the 4th highest receiver contract, but let's face it. He's never going to be Odell Beckham. He's not going to be Mike Evans. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. I just accepted that a long time ago. But at this point, they need him to be a really productive number 2 wide receiver that in a pinch, because Tyreek Hill's out, he can step up and be a 1. That's what Alshon Jeffrey can do. That's what T.Y. Hilton can do. That's what Tyler Lockett can do. Can you be a guy who week in, week out, teams can depend on, and can you be a guy who can catch 850 yards to 950 yards? If he can do that, I have no issues, no complaints with Sammy Watkins.
In this offense, Alshon Jeffrey or Tyler Lockett type numbers aren't good enough to be a number 1 wide receiver. You have to have closer to what Tyreek Hill did, which is why him off the field is going to give Sammy so much of an opportunity to put up those numbers.
Yeah, I'm just not expecting to be Tyreek Hill, because I don't think he has Tyreek Hill ability.
No, he's not going to be Tyreek Hill, but there's no reason why he doesn't have 1,000, 1,100 yards if he stays healthy in a Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid offense.
Yeah, I just think going into it expecting him to be Tyreek Hill, and maybe just because of those yards. I mean, Tyreek Hill last year almost had 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, he ain't doing that.
Yeah, he's not even close, I would say, to those things. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Keep it locked in. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win Royals and Yankees tickets. And today felt like the first time that Bubba Starling could get called up for the Royals. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
It is now your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word WISH. W-I-S-H, WISH, 272-881. That's WISH. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win 1,000 in the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up at Bink at Night at 6:30. But why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are keeping score. WISH, W-I-S-H, WISH, 272-881. Your national cash contest code word 4530 is WISH. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about Breland Speaks. I'll tell you why we're talking about him coming up in just a little bit, but first.
And if you wish to win some Royals tickets, hit me up right now at
913-576-7610.
We've got 2 pairs to give away to callers 6 and 7 for this Saturday's game. It's a 6:10 Sports Saturday at the K, Royals and Yankees. If you want a pair of tickets, be caller 6 or 7 right now. If you wish to go to the K on Saturday, hit us up at 913-576-7610.
I am not one to really talk about the bodies of professional athletes.
But
I feel this is different because Breland Speaks has called himself fat before. Like, I can pull up the audio in which Breland Speaks called himself a big fat boy. I can play that for you if you want to. I just saw a picture from him today at OTAs, and he does not look good at all. Like, Sammy Watkins said that he's in the best shape of his life. Breland Speaks is not in the best shape of his life. Like, I'll retweet the picture. You can put it out on the 610 if you want. You would not feel very encouraged about Breland Speaks if you saw the picture I'm looking at.
Is he on the Chiron?
He's like a defensive tackle. He looks like he's moving inside this year. He looks like there's that player, if that's what he looks like at the beginning of next season, cannot play defensive end for you. He can't.
But I'm saying is, like, I hear what you're saying about defensive end, but like Aaron Donald, Alan Bailey are like peak physique. Like, the human body cannot
Chris Jones
be
even
in,
looks a little
yeah,
different.
Cannot be in a better physical shape than what those guys are at. That ain't the shape of what he looks like.
You don't want to be described as doughy when you're an NFL player,
I'm not even trying to be cruel. That's how he looks. He looks doughy. Like, look at this picture. Look at this. Tell me he don't look doughy.
Holy Pete.
He don't look doughy?
Wow.
That's
not a 57 jersey. That's a 5 and a 7 jersey they sewed together. You
I'm
can't tell
serious.
Me that's a 57 jersey.
I'm serious. Breland Speaks looks doughy.
That I did not expect
to see.
That doesn't
make me feel good at all. Like, not even a little bit. I don't feel good at all about Breland Speaks.
He ain't hitting the field.
We
got like
to talk to somebody about Breland Speaks. Whoa. Goodness gracious. We got to tweet this picture out. Breland Speaks
looks
out
like
here
he swallowed Dexter McCluster.
Breland Speaks is out here looking very rough, my guy. So today, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but yesterday the Royals called down Heath Fillmyer to the minor leagues.
Come on down.
So a lot of people were thinking, you know what? You know what this could mean?
What?
Bubba Starling could be coming here. Heath Fillmyer out, Bubba in.
Sounds good to me.
Swap. That is not the case. Bubba Starling is not going to be a member of the Kansas City Royals, at least not right now. But I do think there is a reason for you to be optimistic about Bubba Starling. This is from Jeffrey Flanagan. Quote, the good news for fans of Starling. First off, this is already inaccurate. He says fans of Starling. There's only one fan. You.
You're talking to me, man.
Sean Levine. You're the only fan of Bubba Starling.
I wish my name was Bubba.
So, good news. Just start calling yourself Bubba. That's not his government name.
It's Derek.
So just start calling yourself Bubba Starling.
I think I will.
The good news for fans of Bubba Starling is that there seems to be very little doubt that Starling, who is 26 years old, will finally make his major league debut sometime this season, perhaps soon. He is hitting .355, and the Royals are certainly paying attention to his progress. Dayton Moore has mentioned many times that Starling could handle big league duty defensively right now, so the fact that he is healthy and hitting are positive signs. The only reason the Royals will be cautious is that this call-up, unlike Lovelady or Lopez, Starling is out of options. When the Royals pull the trigger on Starling, it pretty much has to be for good. I do want to point this out. When Jeffrey Flanagan says perhaps soon, that is not a speculation. Someone told him that. Whether it was Dayton told him off the record or on the record, Flanagan's been doing this too long, too plugged in. Flanagan's been doing this for 30 years. Flanagan, if someone says perhaps soon with something with the Royals related and Flanagan tells you that, then he heard it from somebody who is very important with the Kansas City Royals. Bubba Starling is playing incredibly well right now in Omaha. He is hitting .355. He's not hitting for the power. Maybe people thought that he could hit .400, but he certainly is playing well so far. I was told by Art Stewart years ago, I'm talking back 2013, 2014, that Bubba was ready defensively. Now, he couldn't hit back then, but they've believed that in the Royals for a very long time. Now, the last part to me is the interesting. When the Royals pull the trigger on Starling, it pretty much has to be for good. That's 100% accurate. There's no sending him down like Kyle Zimmer. If it was like Kyle Zimmer, I think Bubba would already be here. If they have the option to just bring him up and maybe he fails and he can go back down and work on some things, I think he'd already be here. I do think the fact of, based on him being out of options, whenever they call up Bubba Starling, he better be ready to start from day one and he better be able to immediately contribute. That if for any reason it does not work, they have to release him. They can't send him back down to Omaha or Northwest Arkansas to figure things out. I think they're being more cautious with Bubba because of the resources that they've placed into him. I mean, they've given Bubba Starling a lot of money and a lot of time to grow. We've been having this conversation about Bubba Starling for 7 years. I'll never forget, I interviewed Bubba Starling, had him on when I was still an intern for Nick Wright. That's how long Bubba Starling has been around and in the conversation of being a member of the Royals. They cannot get it wrong with Bubba whenever he's quote-unquote ready.
So if not now, which it's not going to be because they're bringing up Kevin McCarthy, then he should be the next move. He's hitting .355. I just want to know, when you talk about risk versus reward, so what's the worst-case scenario? Or I guess let's start with best-case scenario. You bring up Bubba, and he turns into Hunter Dozier. He turns into Whit Merrifield, a guy that didn't really turn it on until a few years after we thought he was going to. That's best-case scenario. But to me, what's worst case scenario? You bring Bubba up, he fails, you put some butts in seats, and then the Bubba Starling experiment is done for. I don't really see it as a high-risk move to bring up Bubba Starling.
But I just would say is there's no urgency in which you have to do it. You're not playing for anything. You've got the time. Like, is the play for Bubba Starling, if you're the Royals, is to maybe bring him up here 2-3 weeks before he's ready? Maybe you make a little bit of extra money that you wouldn't have made, but you kind of set him back a little bit. I would say with Bubba, there's no reason not to take the extra due diligence to be sure.
Do you really think 2 or 3 weeks, though, at this point in the career of Bubba Starling is going to make him a better baseball player or a more ready Major League Baseball player? The guy's been in the system for, what, 7 years?
I don't know, though. I guess my argument is there's no reason not to bring Bubba up if you're not 100% about it and everybody's not on board with it, because there's no timetable to do so. We agree he's going to be up at some point this season.
Sure.
And you can bring him up in September and it not really hurts you then at that point. So if you think he needs an extra 4 months in the minor leagues because you want to see a full season, there's no reason. That $7.5 million is paid for. The whole grandeur of him being this cornerstone center fielder, I think a lot of people have kind of moved off that. I would say now with where he is as a prospect, we got to stop treating him like he's the fourth overall pick or he's this second coming. And they got to treat him about what's best for a minor league prospect who they feel really good about. You're right. Maybe he turns into Hunter Dozier, but I would say they don't have the time the way they did with Hunter Dozier. Hunter Dozier was bad for an entire season. If we agree, if Bubba Starling is bad for 100 games and then he's hitting .220,
that's it.
I'm saying is they will have to release Bubba Starling, yeah, where they're not going to be able to allow the patience where they had Hunter Dozier on the team, they let him get his 100 games last year, and then they brought him back next season, and now it's paid off dividends for him. I don't know if they can do that same thing with Bubba the way they did with him.
So, personally, when are you going to feel it's time? Because right now he's hitting .355. He's already a good enough outfielder, major league quality. The Royals could use another outfielder right now. The Royals aren't heading anywhere. The Royals made a call-up. At what point are you going to feel comfortable saying, okay, now it's time to call up Bubba? If not now, when?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. This is something I trust Dayton Moore on doing. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know. I'm not watching Bubba play for the Omaha Storm Chasers. I have absolutely no clue how to evaluate when Bubba's quote-unquote minor or major league ready.
Look at the numbers. He's hitting 355, an OBP of almost, what, close to 500.
Yeah, you're right. But I would also say is that's minor league pitching. He's not hitting for any powers. I saw this. It was in the story. So he has 43 hits this season. 35 of them are singles. So you're right. He's hitting 355, but we agree. If that's your center fielder, I want him hitting for more than 3 home runs. So you just want a little bit more power. This should be about taking the time to properly develop Bubba Starling, where maybe he felt rushed, like he had to develop on other people's timetable because his draft class was so good. This is a time that expectations for Bubba are at an all-time low. So if you feel like you got to bring him up next year for opening day and you got to give him more time, I'm just saying is whenever you take that shot with him, you better be 100% right. Because if you're not right, the Royals wasted $10 million.
That's true, but it just sounds ridiculous that we're still talking Bubba Starling and patience in the same sentence. I think that the Royals have been ultimately patient enough with Bubba Starling.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. Next is The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up after us, it is Bink at Night. The Royals are off today because of the rain. Would they play today in Kansas City now that it's a lot more sunny?
Oh, yeah. They'd play baseball. Sure. Are you kidding me? It's beautiful outside right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, I mean, they called the game so much earlier in the day. I mean, earlier.
Yeah, forecast.
Just saying, earlier, it was raining so hard earlier today.
Something tells me the Kauffman Stadium field is still soaking wet based on all the rain we got earlier. But luckily, the game's in the loop.
Yeah, no. The game is in.
The draining systems for. They got great grounds crews out
there.
They
really do. One of the best.
They do. I'll never forget one time Hudler came on and said the difference between Kansas City and St. Louis is that Kansas City is a fountain and St. Louis is a drain.
Oh, I like that.
That's what he said.
Oh, I like that a lot.
You know, Hud's a very positive guy. For him to say that St. Louis was a drain was the most negative thing I've heard him say about anybody ever in my entire life. So coming up after us, it would be the Royals, but it is Bink at Night. Always good. I have a feeling Bink's going to talk football. I'm not 100%. I have not seen Bink or talked to Bink, but I have a very good feeling that it's going to be a lot of football conversation on there. I
wonder what his take is on Breland Speaks.
They're the same size.
You said it, not me.
They're the same size. I mean, I'm not even trying to make fun of Breland Speaks. I mean, you guys got to see I tweeted the picture out.
Then you're making fun of Binkley with that statement. You're making fun of one or the other.
Binkley,
that's for
sure.
Binkley
knows that he's a big guy. Binkley knows that.
Does he know he's Breland Speaks? Like, has he seen the picture of Breland Speaks and knowing that you've compared him? Something tells me he'd be offended.
I think Binkley would love to look like Breland Speaks. I bet you if we asked Bink, would you love right now to press a button to look like that, he'd say yes. I'm serious. Look at Breland Speaks.
Look at Bink.
I retweeted the picture and somebody said he's built like the Michelin Man. That's how Breland Speaks looks.
He does. He looks like the Michelin Man ate Jay Binkley.
He looks super doughy. He looks like a busted can
Tano's
of biscuits.
Tano's making the team, see that?
Yeah.
Based Tano's on that picture,
Tano's making the team because that guy's not a defensive end. He's a D tackle.
You know, Tano physically is ripped.
Tano's looking at Breland this week and he's like, man, my roster spot is back in business.
I just want to know what kind of workout and diet.
It's the Sharon Collins diet. I've seen it before. It's not a good one.
What is that, Hennessy and hot wings?
Pretty much, yeah.
What kind of diet is that?
rookie contract's guaranteed, man.
Hennessy and hot wings.
See, the thing is, though, is like his entire moneymaker is his body. I just want to know what are you doing in the offseason.
Making it big, much bigger.
I just want to know what you're doing.
Eating.
I just want to know. I don't know.
He's going to make $2.7 million this year. It's a good gig, man.
It's a lot of buffets. A lot of buffets. Hennessy and Hobbit.
I feel like this has gone down a bad path.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of took it to the next level. I didn't take it all.
He's a big fella, a bigger fella.
You took it too far, man.
You said his workout plan was Hennessy and hot wings.
That's what I said about Sharon Collins. Oh, that was different.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's what
that
I
was
said
confirmed.
About
that
Collins.
Was reported.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said about that. I wasn't talking about Breland Speaks. I don't know him like that.
All right.
I don't know Sharon either, but I know people that know Sharon that I feel strong enough to say that probably was his workout.
They're
plan.
Both portly fellas.
Anybody that had an NBA workout and missed the flight, you can make fun of them for the rest of their life. You know what I mean? You can make fun of them for the rest of their life.
You could have played in the NBA, but you couldn't make a damn flight. Come on, bro.
That would be like Jim Rome asked Brandon Kiley to come. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know, I can't even talk right now.
Excuse me?
I couldn't even talk.
Say what?
I couldn't even get my
was
joke
really
out.
Broken up.
I couldn't even get my joke out. Go ahead. I messed up. I ruined this segment. Blame it on me.
We know what you're trying to do.
Let's step back. It's all good.
Inside the mind of the machine. I can speak, so I'll go ahead and do it. Tonight is game 4 between the Raptors and the Bucks. Do the Raptors see that feel like the old Marty Schottenheimer Chiefs, where they're a really good team, but they're probably never going to win a title?
I mean, if you want to put it in that category, yeah, but I think it's a little bit different. I mean, the biggest reason why the Raptors haven't won a championship is because of LeBron James. Like, LeBron, I think we see, like, some players are good enough, they're going to stop you from getting a ring. Like, the biggest reason why Ewing doesn't have a ring or Reggie Miller doesn't have a ring is because of Michael Jordan. The same thing seems to happen for the Toronto Raptors, and they're playing with six people. Like, you're not going to win an NBA championship if you can't at least go eight deep. Like, look right now at Golden State. Like, I know we give the, you know, the top guys all the credit, and they deserve it. Like, Golden State is getting excellent contribution from its role players. Like, Kevin Looney's giving you something. Sean Livingston is giving you something. Jordan Bell is giving you something. Like, that's just not happening right now with the Raptors.
I think it's an okay comparison in this respect. I do think there is value in just being a good team. And I think the Raptors are one of those teams that was like, listen, we want to win 50-55 games a year, and hopefully at some point we can break through. We find a way to break through. This is what the Atlanta Hawks did for years. It's what we've seen a number of teams try to do in baseball. You just hope for that one year where you could break through, and this year was the year that they were hoping to do so. Don't think they're going to be able to find a way.
Guys, the Eagles are undergoing their OTAs, and Carson Wentz has no limitations, but do you think that Philadelphia is going to regret getting rid of Nick Foles?
Are we sure that Nick Foles is good?
Yes.
I ask that because if you take away the Chip Kelly year, his numbers are very pedestrian, and we've only really seen him be successful in fake Andy Reid's offense or Chip Kelly's offense.
Did you forget about the Super Bowl a couple of years ago?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's not going to have Doug Peterson as his coach. Now, if he was a starting quarterback for Philadelphia, I'd have a different concern. You're away from fake Andy Reid's offense, and you're away from Chip Kelly's offense. Can he go do it in a different system? I don't know if he can. I still have my questions about Nick Foles. And let's not forget that Carson Wentz was in line to win NFL MVP prior to the ACL tear. I don't have any questions if Carson Wentz can play or not. In fact, Carson Wentz was good last season. They just missed the playoffs last year because he was kind of getting back up to speed. Carson Wentz is one of the five best young quarterbacks in the league. He just got to stay healthy.
Carson Wentz is awesome. I would, of all the young quarterbacks in the league right now, like from that draft class, so we're talking about Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, I'd feel most confident in paying Carson Wentz out of that group because when he's been healthy, he's been really, really good. So I'm totally in favor of the way that they handled that. Nick Foles is not as good as Carson Wentz is. He's older. He's not the future there. They handled that correctly.
Big blank Nick. Hey, C-Dot, who's a better cereal spokesman, Tony the Tiger or the Trix Rabbit?
Tony the Tiger, not even close.
Have you ever had Tony the Tiger, what the hell is a cereal called? Corn Flakes? What are they called? Frosted Flakes. Have you ever had Frosted Flakes with marshmallows?
I have just a year or so ago, they had a mashup between Frosted Flakes and they did the Lucky Charms marshmallows, and it was an amazing cereal.
I've got a box of those at home right now. Guys, if you could change one
rule. I don't believe
rule,
you couldn't even remember what cereal
I swear on everything, and I'll bring it in tomorrow, that I have a box of Frosted Flakes with marshmallows.
You don't need to bring it. It's okay. I believe you.
Okay, thank
I believe you, my guy.
If you could change
That's how you know somebody, man. I swear. I swear to God. All right, bro. It's not that serious. I was messing with you.
I've got the Frosted Flakes, damn
I swear
it.
To God, I got the box of Frosted Mini Wheats.
Do I sound like that?
All right, my bad, bro.
If you guys could change one rule in the NFL or in sports, but let's just stick with the NFL. If you could change one rule in the NFL, what would it be?
I think the pass interference is severely broken. I think that part of offensive philosophy now is not even try to complete a pass. We got 3rd and 15. Let's try to throw it down the field for as far as we can, and let's try to get pass interference to get an automatic first down. That's got to be fixed.
The worst rule in sports is something that must be taken care of at this point. An offensive player fumbling through the end zone should not give the ball to the opposing team. It's ridiculous. You can fumble anywhere else on the field, and it goes back to where you fumbled. When you fumble through the end zone, the other team magically gets it at the 20-yard line. It's absurd. If you want to penalize the offense for fumbling through the end zone, make them take it back at the 20. Don't give the possession to the other team. That's one of the worst rules in sports. It's got to be taken care of.
I actually disagree with you, but I don't want to argue that. Do you guys remember when Magic Johnson said that he quit his job so he could tweet the way
Please
that he wanted
to?
Please
say this because yeah. I just saw it a minute ago and I was hoping you would get to it.
I am getting my skinny popcorn ready tonight for Milwaukee versus Toronto. I'm going with sea salt and pepper. That's why you quit your job so you could tweet this kind of foolishness and nonsense? I don't know if you saw when he was on First Take. And he literally said, I had to sacrifice a lot to do this job. My wife and I would go to a movie night every Sunday. And then he said, sometimes I have to miss it. That's what he said. He said, sometimes I had to miss movie night with my wife. I gave up a lot for this job. That's what he said.
He's not wrong.
What? Those are you some... own a movie theater.
Those are some weird eating habits that you point out that Magic has also, but not as weird as that ex-girlfriend I was telling you about. Remember the Cheetos and Milk Girl?
Yo, that's your girl. Cheeto Milk Girl.
No, we broke up. But she also put peanut butter
on
her
queen.
Burger.
That's your queen.
We broke up because of her weird eating habits. She dipped her Oreos in orange juice, bro.
That's your queen.
That's a breakupable offense right
there. That's your queen. Did she, like, twist them apart and lick them and then dip it?
Of course she did.
She's nasty.
Yeah, she was kind of nasty.
She's super nasty.
You never had a Doritos sandwich?
You used to kiss her.
Yeah, I did.
You were kissing all
over. After she drank the milk from the Cheetos.
What a show. What a show today, guys.
Cheeto breath.
We crushed it.
Cheeto breath girl. You're nasty. Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow we are on from I Don't Know Until I Don't Know because of the doubleheader. Hopefully we don't have a show because that means we got paid and we didn't have to work, and that's the best situation. Bink up next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.